Hey, 11 o'clock. How you guys doing? Welcome. Welcome. So good to have you. If you happen to be a guest online or in person, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to, first of all, just welcome all of the VC Youth. If you tuned in late or you came here late, we had our VC Youth lead worship. But all of our VC Youth that are here this morning are actually in our service. So if you're a sixth grader through a 12th grader, that defines our VC Youth. Would you please stand? We want to welcome you and thank you for being here. So good to have you guys. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. And you know, that was one of our worship teams from Vineyard Youth. I think we need to give it up for the Vineyard Youth worship team. Did a fantastic job. I may be a little biased. Both of my kids were on the worship team, so that was extra special for me. You know, where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible in just a moment is 1 Peter 2. So if you have a Bible, you have an app. Open it up to 1 Peter 2. We're going to look at verse 17 in just a moment. Before we do that, though, you know, we're sort of highlighting the youth department today. And so, you know, a couple weeks ago, our youth, about 200 youth and youth leaders, actually went on a week-long camp up in Prescott, and we did a video to kind of give you a little glimpse of some of the things that happened up there. So let's go ahead and run that video. Amen. So good. You know, we really have a fantastic youth department here at the Vineyard. We have a fantastic children's ministry department as well. And probably one of the major reasons why we're able to minister to kids and students so effectively is because when you and I give financially to God through our church, that enables us to be able to minister to children and students in that way, in an excellent way. And I know many of you are incredibly generous in your giving. Thank you. It really does change people's lives when you and I are able to give financially. So we're going to pause for a moment just for a time of prayer and ask God to bless our gifts whenever we give those back to Him. And let's also open our hearts and minds to God as God speaks to us out of the Bible this morning. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, we're so grateful to have the youth in our service, and we're so grateful, God, for what you're doing in the lives of our young adults, our students, God. We pray that you'd continue to do that, and as we give money back to you, Lord, whenever we do that, we pray that you would bless our money and you would use it not only to lift up the name of Jesus, but also to really help change people's lives in every area. And God, bless our gifts and bless us in being faithful to you with our finances. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to every one of us, whether they're online or in this room. God, would you speak whatever we need to hear from you right now? And in order for that to happen, God, I need your empowering. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower me, that these would not be merely human words, but they would be truly from you. So have your way, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, probably one of the most underrated character qualities these days, and maybe even one of the most endangered character qualities these days, is the character quality of respect. Respect. And the Bible tells us very clearly that God wants you and me to show respect to other people. And yet it's a very uncommon thing these days, isn't it? We live in a very rude world. And it seems like our world is getting more and more rude all the time. You know, common courtesy isn't so common these days. In fact, I don't know if you can believe this, but someone the other day showed me that I was number one in their life. I couldn't believe it. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that if you want to live a successful life, then you must have this key under your belt, so to speak, the key of showing respect to other people. And not only that, but God commands us multiple times in the Bible to tell us that he wants us to show respect to everyone. I've just given you one example, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. The Apostle Peter commands us and says, show respect for who? Everyone. Say it out loud. For who? Everyone. So today, we're going to look at how we can show respect to everyone. But first of all, I want us to look at why. Why should we show respect to everyone? Besides the fact that God commands us to, are there other reasons? There are lots of other reasons. First of all, we need to show respect to everyone because God created everyone. God created everyone. The psalmist here in Psalm 8 is talking to God in his prayer, and he says this, what are people that you, God, should think about them? Mere mortals that you should care for them. Yet, you have made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You know what this is saying? This is saying that there are no worthless people. There are no worthless people. There are people who sometimes do worthless things. But there are no worthless people. God created everybody. And you know what? God doesn't make junk. Even the most unlovable person is loved by God. So I need to show respect for everybody because God created everybody. Second reason to show respect to everyone is because Jesus died for everybody. Peter says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You know, I may not think a lot about a particular person, but God does. God does. In fact, God says that they're worth dying for. The cross shows us how much people matter to God. God says, I died for people. Even people who don't believe in me. Even people who reject me. Even people who choose to disobey me, I still died for them because they're people of worth and I love them and they matter to me. So I want you to show respect to everybody. Third reason to show respect to everyone is because it shows that I know God. It shows that I personally know God. The Apostle John says, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. See, love always treats people with respect and dignity. In fact, if you look at the life of Jesus, he always treated people with respect, even his enemies. Therefore, the way that God wants us to treat other people is the same way, with incredible respect. Let me give you a fourth reason to show respect to everyone is because I'm going to reap what I sow. I am going to reap what I sow. The Bible calls that the law of the harvest. And what it is whatever you want in life, you young people, listen up, whatever you want in life, give that out, and eventually you will get that back. If you want other people to show respect to you, guess what? You need to show respect to other people. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. It's sowing and reaping. If you want people to treat you with dignity, you need to treat other people with dignity. If you want people to smile at you at school, you know, school just started. Well, nobody smiles at me. Well, do you smile at them? It happens in every area. Whatever you want in life, give that out. You'll get it back. If you want people to be friendly to you, guess what? You need to be friendly to other people. You know, so many times over the years at our church, someone will stop me in the lobby or whatever and say, well, you know, Brian, I've been coming to the church now for a couple months, and nobody talks to me when I come. Well, the thing is, are you talking to other people first? You know, I don't know if you guys know this. Church is not all about you. Have you figured that out yet? Did I say that nice enough? Church is not all about you. If you want people to be friendly to you, be friendly first. If you want people to smile at you, smile at them first. I mean, the Apostle Paul is very clear. He says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then he says in verse 9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, not always right away, but in due time you will reap if you don't grow weary. So why should I show respect to everyone? Because God created everyone, because Jesus died for everyone, because it shows that I know God, and because I'm going to reap what I sow. So how do we do it? How do we show respect to other people? Let me give you four ways. First of all, when I speak to others, I need to be tactful, not just truthful. See, the primary way that we show respect to other people is through our words, through the things that we say. Proverbs 15, it says, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. See, he's talking about tactfulness here. And tactfulness is one of those qualities that we don't hear about much these days. See, what's tactfulness? Tactfulness is watching how you say what you say. Watching how you say what you say. You say, why is that important? Because the way you say something determines how well it's going to be received. In fact, the Bible says that if you want to get along with other people in your life, one of the secrets is tactfulness. Tactfulness is one of those things that will make your relationships, all of them, go so much better. Tactfulness is the key to having a happy home, having a happy marriage if you're married. It's the key to getting along with people in school, learning how to be tactful. So what is tact? Let me give you a few definitions. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. That's tact. Tact is when someone tells you to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes you look forward to the journey. That's tact. Tact is the art of telling someone that they're open-minded when really they just have a hole in their head. That's a tactful person. Tact is speaking the truth in love. In love. A lot of people don't understand what tact is. In fact, you know, I want you to not confuse rudeness with frankness. Frankness. Some people think that they're just being frank when they speak to somebody, but they're actually being rude. You know, they say, well, you know, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Well, you know what the Bible says that is? The Bible says that's stupid. The Bible says that's not smart at all. Because it's just saying to somebody, I couldn't care less how what I say makes you feel. I don't care if it demeans you. I don't care if it devalues you. All I care about is getting to say what I want to say. That's not being frank. That's being rude. That's being mean. It's being disrespectful. So you need to think through this. Is what I'm going to say something that will build this person up, Or is it something that will tear them down? God wants us to say things that will build people up. Even when it might be a difficult conversation, we can say it with tact so that it does not tear this person down. You can actually build them up. In fact, the Apostle Paul is very clear in what he says in Ephesians 4:29. He says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. No unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. That means the building up. Edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, interestingly, the Greek language, you know, the New Testament originally was written in Greek, and the word picture there for that word unwholesome, when Paul says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, the word picture there for that word unwholesome is the word picture of rotting meat. When we say unwholesome words to other people, in God's nostrils, it smells like rotting meat. You ever smelled rotting meat? How many of you ever smelled rotting meat? Let me see your hands. You know, a number of years ago, my wife and I were going on vacation for a couple of weeks, and so we turned up the AC. It was in the summer. We turned the AC up to like 95. Well, that's not a very smart thing to do. I remember we had candles, and we came back, and they were all drooped over. They'd all melt and everything. But we turned it up to 95, and then we left. We came back in 2 weeks. Our freezer, while we were gone, quit working, and it was filled with meat. And I remember walking in the room, walking in the door, just opening the door, and it smelled like there were probably 6 dead people in our house. Not that I know what 6 dead people would actually smell like, but I can't imagine it smelling any worse. That's the word picture that God wants us to understand when we say unwholesome words to other people. That's what it's like to God. So we need to be very careful about how we say what we say. In fact, if you really want to get good at tact, there's a book that's been around for decades that is a must read if you want to learn how to get along with other people in a really good way. It's the old book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's all over the place. You can probably get a copy for 10 cents, you know, somewhere, because there are all kinds of them. But I had our whole pastoral staff study that book together several years ago now, so that we would learn more and more how to be tactful. All right, second way to show respect to other people is when I'm being served by someone, I need to be understanding, not demanding. One of the greatest tests of your character is how you treat people who serve you. How do you treat waiters? How do you treat waitresses? How do you treat people at the grocery store who serve you? How do you treat flight attendants, hotel staff, people who work for you if you're the boss? See, the question is, when people are serving you in some way, are you understanding toward them, or are you just demanding toward them? You know, Jesus said it like this. We call it the golden rule. He said, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Do you do that? Do you treat other people who are serving you the same way that you'd want to be treated if you were serving them? And by the way, you want to know where the best place to practice this is? It's in the home. It's in the home. Those of you that are married, I've found that more marriages are ruined by rudeness than just about anything else. It amazes me how many marriages are buried because of one little dig after another. Constantly belittling each other, constantly criticizing each other, constantly putting each other down. One little dig after another. Pretty soon the marriage is dead and buried. In fact, there was a news story about a couple that actually got an annulment to their marriage based on the husband's rudeness. This is no joke. The wife went to court and claimed that her husband burped all the time. And it got so bad, she filed for an annulment of their marriage. And the judge ruled in her favor, granted her the annulment on the basis of, quote, if her husband really loved her, he wouldn't burp so much. If it annoyed her that much, he should be more considerate. See, part of showing respect to people is being courteous to people in the little things. All right, third way to show respect to others is when I disagree with someone, be gentle, not judgmental. You know, as a follower of Jesus, there are a lot of things going on today that I totally disagree with. I'm sure the same is true with you. A lot of people believe things these days. A lot of people are doing things or saying things today that are definitely not godly. So, when I disagree with someone about something, how am I supposed to relate to them? When you disagree with someone about something, how are you supposed to relate to them? Well, we need to remember two things when we disagree with someone. We first of all need to remember that every person is accountable to God. Every person is going to stand before God one day, and they're going to give an account of their behaviors, their words, their actions, their attitudes, everything about their life. They're going to give an account of it to God. I'm going to have to do that, and so are you. In fact, the Apostle Paul very clearly says, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. When you disagree with somebody, remember, they're going to have to give an account of their life to God. And then the second thing you need to remember when you disagree with someone is, remember that you're not God. Therefore, they're not accountable to you. I'm not God either. In fact, I want you to really understand this. You are not God. So what I want you to do is, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell them, remind them, you are not God. Okay, turn one way. You are not God. All right, now you can turn the other way and say to that person, you are really not God, okay? Yeah, you're really not God. Therefore, since I'm not God, since they're not God, that person you disagree with is not accountable to you, so we don't have to run around trying to police everybody's lifestyle and try to make them act like us. See, when someone's not a follower of Jesus, when someone's never had a transforming experience with Jesus Christ, guess what? They're not going to act like a Christian. And so it's not my job, and it's not your job to go around and try to personally clean up everybody else's lifestyle. Now, I do want you to remember, talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that telling the truth to someone is not necessarily being judgmental. Depends how you say it. But there are a lot of people who say that today. They say, well, if you say this thing is right and that thing is wrong, then you're just being judgmental. No, not necessarily. You're not being judgmental. You're just telling the truth. You know, if you tell a pregnant woman who's snorting cocaine all the time, hey, if you keep doing that, you might harm your baby. You're not being judgmental. You're just telling them the truth. If you tell somebody, hey, if you drink that poison, there's a good chance you might die. You're not being judgmental. You're just telling them the truth. If I tell people who are disobeying God's laws that it's going to cause all kinds of negative effects in their life, that's not being judgmental. That's just telling them the truth. Now, what is judgmental is when you take the truth like a club and you beat people over the head with it. And that's what a lot of Christians do. That is not what you want to do. No, you tell truth to help people, not to harm people. So what I'm saying is, you can disagree with someone without being disagreeable. You can disagree with someone without being a jerk by using tact and speaking the truth in love. In fact, you can be right about a certain issue, but if you're rude about it, then you're wrong. All right, let me give you a fourth way to show respect to others. When people are rude to me, I know it's hard to believe somebody might be rude to me, but when people are rude to me, I need to respond politely. Don't retaliate by being rude to them back, because that only adds fuel to the fire, makes things worse. Look at Paul says in Romans 12, 17, never, how often is never? Are there any exceptions to never? No, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Yeah, but never. Yeah, but they did. Never. There are no exceptions. Verse 21, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, anytime you and I treat another person with respect and dignity, no matter how despicable they might have been toward us, you know what God says to us? He says, you're doing the right thing. They matter to me. And by the way that you've treated them, I can tell that they matter to you too. Way to go. Way to go. Don't retaliate. Now you might be thinking, well, Brian, where does this kind of respect begin? Well, the Bible says this kind of respect is supposed to begin in the home, in the family. That's what the fifth commandment out of the top 10 commandments says. It says, honor, or you could say, show respect your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Then you will have a long, full life. Do you know that this is the only commandment that comes with a promise? If you obey it, this is going to happen to you. You're going to live a long, full life. See, respect always begins in the family. And one of the most critical lessons a child, for those of you that are parents, make sure you pay attention to this. Those of you that are young people, the most critical lesson that a young person can learn in life is how to relate to authority properly. If a young person does not learn how to relate to authority and show proper respect to authority in their life, that young person will probably never grow up to be successful in life. They probably won't be successful in their career. They probably won't be successful in their education, in their relationships. If they get married, they probably won't be successful in their marriage. A child or a young person who grows up thinking, nobody's going to tell me what to do, is probably going to end up being a loser. See, you can't get along in this world if you don't know how to cooperate and treat other people with dignity and respect. You young people in here, you're just starting school. Make it a goal that you're going to treat every one of your teachers, you're going to treat every one of your classmates to the best of your ability with dignity and respect. Because remember, whatever you give out, you're going to get back. Now, I want you to look back at Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother, God says. I want you to notice it says both, father and mother. Now, the problem today, because divorce is so prevalent, is that some kids are having to choose. Maybe some of you in this room, you're having to choose. Do I show respect to mom? Do I honor mom, or do I honor dad? That's sad. Because God says he wants you to honor both. And you might say, well, Brian, my parents are really bad parents. Why would I want to honor them? They aren't good. Or maybe you're much older in life and you're looking back and you're like, my parents were terrible parents. Why should I honor them? I want you to understand the principle here. God does not say, honor your parents' parenting skills. This says nothing about whether your parents were good parents or bad parents. It says nothing about whether your parents were effective or ineffective in their parenting, whether they were helpful or whether they were harmful. What God is saying is, honor the position of parenthood. You're to honor your parents because of the position that God has put them in your life. Regardless of whether they were good parents or bad parents. So again, you young people, most of you, I'm sure, are still living with your parents or a parent Are you honoring them? It comes with a promise, a long, fulfilling life. It's worth working at. So as we close today, I want to talk to two special groups of people. The first group are those of you in this room, not just young people, but even people my age, who have been hurt by your parents. You've been hurt by your parents. Maybe you're neglected growing up. Maybe you're being neglected right now. Maybe you never heard your parents say to you, I love you, or I'm proud of you. Or maybe your parents were harsh and demanding. Maybe it felt like they didn't really care that much about you. Or maybe even something worse, maybe your parents abused you in some way. God forbid, verbally or emotionally, maybe even physically or sexually. You know, if that's the case, as your pastor, I want to say to you, I am so sorry. And I want to speak the truth to you. That was never God's will for you. There are a lot of things that happen in this life that are not God's will. And that was never God's will for you. And God, the Bible says, actually hurts with you. He hurts with you. And the Bible very clearly says that child abuse is one of those things that's going to be judged very severely by God. In fact, Jesus said it's better to have a millstone hung around your neck and be tossed into the sea than to have the kind of judgment that's going to come towards someone who abused a child. But if you were part of that, if you've been hurt by your parents in some way, what does God expect from you? When he says to you, honor your father and mother, what does he expect? I mean, does he expect you just to ignore all of that past pain and pretend like it didn't happen? Are you supposed to ignore it? No. God doesn't want you to fake anything. What God wants you to do is face it. He wants you to face it. He wants you to face the truth and deal with the issues so that you can get on with your life and begin to experience healing for the hurt that you've experienced from your parents. And again, this is for no matter how old you are. If you're a young person or you're a person my age or much older, doesn't matter. You may have to go to a professional Christian counselor to help you work through some of that stuff. You may have to go to one of our programs here at the Vineyard, like Healing from the Inside Out, such a good program to help people get healed from things like that. But one of the most important things that if you've been hurt by one of your parents or both of them, that you have to do, this is a must, is you have to make the choice to forgive them. To forgive them. And I want to tell you, the Bible talks about forgiveness not as an emotion. That's what a lot of people think of forgiveness as. It's not an emotion. Forgiveness in the Bible is a choice. It's a decision of your will. Some people say, well, Brian, you don't know what they've done to me. When I feel like forgiving them, then I will. Well, you'll never forgive them because you'll never feel like it. You need to make the choice to forgive, which is an act of your will. And how do you do that? The way you forgive another person is you make the choice to take that person out of your heart because that's where they are right now. Your unforgiveness is you're holding yourself hostage to someone else who hurt you a long time ago because you still have them in your heart filled with bitterness. You need to take them and what they've done to you out of your heart and release them and what they've done to you to God. And let God deal with them in his way and in his time if he decides to deal with them at all. That's up to God, not you. So you go to God and you say to God something like, God, you know what my dad did to me? And you name it. And I've been carrying him around in my heart. I've had bitterness toward him. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be free. And so I make the choice right now, God, to release him and release what he's done to me, to you, and let you deal with him, God, in your way, in your time, if you decide to deal with him at all. But that's up to you. You're God, I'm not. But I don't want to have them in my heart anymore. And you begin to walk free. Now, you may have to make that choice dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of times until you truly get free, depending on how badly somebody may have hurt you. So that's the first group of people, those of you who have been hurt by your parents. And we're going to have a time for prayer in a few minutes. But the second group of people that I want to talk to are those of you that maybe you weren't really hurt that much, but you really felt like your parents weren't there for you. Maybe you felt kind of abandoned by your parents. Maybe you felt like your parents weren't physically there. Maybe they were gone all the time working, or maybe they had a substance abuse problem, and so they were always out partying or whatever. If that's you, you know what God says? God says, you get special attention. Did you know that? You get special attention. Look at what it says in Psalm 27. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. See, God is a father to the fatherless. He's a mother to the motherless. And regardless of the hurt of your circumstances, you matter to God. And your pain matters to God. And He cares about you. And maybe you're like, well, Brian, I just feel so brokenhearted about my parents and the way that they treated me or the way they're treating me now. I feel so brokenhearted. Well, guess what? The Bible says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And He saves those who are crushed in spirit. God wants you to turn toward Him. And He will begin to bring healing into your life. He loves you. You matter to Him. And one of the things God wants most from your life is He wants you as part of His family. He wants you in His family. And God's family is called the church. And if you don't have a spiritual family that you're already a part of, man, we would love for you to be part of this spiritual family. And I just want to take a moment and address those of you who are students in here. Maybe you're a junior, starting your junior year, or you're a senior, maybe you just graduated. I want you to know, as the senior pastor of this church, you are not only the future of our church, you are the current leaders in our church. And we not only want you to be part of this church family, we need you to be part of this church family. We do. We want you. We need you. We have a ministry called our 18 to 25-year-old ministry. And if you're starting to get to that age where you're going to be graduating not that long, we want you to get connected in our 18 to 25 ministry, because we don't want you to graduate from high school, graduate from our youth ministry, and then just phase out of church. This is your church family, and we want you, and we need you. So please get connected with the 18 to 25 and become part of this family. But I want you to know, if you're that age group, I want you to know up front that this family, like any family, is really imperfect. We are really imperfect. In fact, you can't be part of this church family. There's one caveat. You can't be part of this church family if you're perfect, all right? If you're perfect, we can't accept you, because we're so messed up, you would never fit in here. In fact, if you don't know what our motto is, young people, here's our motto about the Vineyard. Everybody's welcome, you especially. Everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect. And guess what? Anything is possible, because God is in the house. Anything is possible. If that's the kind of family that you want to be a part of, man, this is the family for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Holy Spirit, we welcome more of your presence right now into every heart, every circumstance, those that are online, those that are in this room. God, that you would have your way. And I pray especially, as you know, oh God, that I've been praying all week, I pray especially for those in this room that have been hurt by their parents, no matter how long ago, no matter how fresh. I pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and you would begin to minister to them and encourage them and let them know that what has happened to them is not your will, but you want to walk with them as they walk through this healing process. And I pray that you would show them the next step, Lord, whatever that is. I pray you would help those that need to forgive those that have hurt them. Help them make that choice, even right now. Forgive us, God, for all the times that we haven't honored our fathers and our mothers. God, forgive us. Forgive us for all the times that we haven't honored other people in our life. And we realize that you want us to show them respect. Help us begin to do that, God. I pray especially for the young people in this room, the students. God, I pray that as they begin school, I pray that you would keep this message in their heart and mind as they relate to other students, they relate to their teachers, their coaches, their drama theater teachers, all of that. God, I pray that you'd help them to show respect. And as they do, Lord, that you will bless them in all kinds of ways. Those that have felt sort of abandoned by their parents, Lord, I pray that you come alongside them right now and let them know that that wasn't okay. That wasn't okay with you. But you want to begin to bring healing to them. Whatever the need is, oh God, I pray that you would have your way. Maybe you need to speak to God from your heart right now and say to God, God, I want to forgive my dad, my mom, whoever, my stepdad, stepmom, because they've hurt me and I've been bitter. I don't want to carry around that bitterness anymore. I want to make the choice to begin to forgive. And so I release them and what they've done to me to you, Lord. You can deal with them, God, if you want to, in your way, in your time, but I want to be free. Lord, bring your healing power into every hurt emotion, into every circumstance. You know, one of the best things that we can do whenever we're hurt, physically hurt, emotionally hurt, we have some sort of illness or whatever, one of the best things we can do is have people pray for us. And so I'm going to dismiss the service in a few minutes, and if you would like someone to pray for you, maybe you have a physical malady that you'd like prayer for, maybe you have an emotional issue going on, maybe something I've talked about in this message, maybe something different, but we would love to pray for you. We'll have a ministry team up here at the front, and if you'd like to stick around, we'd love, love, love to pray for you. If you're online and you'd like prayer, just click the prayer button. We'd love to pray for you as well. But that's one of the best things you can do, is tell somebody what's going on. They'll lay their hands on you and pray for you, and God will begin to break in by his power and begin to bring healing to whatever that is. All right? So before we go, I want to pray a blessing. So if everybody could please stand. And by the way, there's probably going to be a lot of people that come up here for prayer in a little while. If you're a student and you're used to praying for other people, laying your hands on them, praying for them, because we teach you how to do that in our youth ministry. If you would like to, we would love for you to join the ministry team today and pray, not just for other students. We'd love for you to pray for adults. Like I said, you're not just the next generation of leaders. You're the generation of leaders right now. And we need you in this spiritual family right now. All right, so please feel free as students to come up and pray for people as well. If the ministry team would come up, students that want to come up to give prayer, and then anybody afterwards that would like to receive prayer, we'd love to pray for you. I want to pray this blessing over you before you go, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us, God. Thank you so much for the students that you're raising up to be great men and women of God in our church family. Bless those that are leaders in the youth department, the student department. God, keep blessing them in the way that they're giving, pouring their lives out to the youth in our church. We're so grateful for them, Lord. And as we go today, Lord, I pray that you would bless each one of us. Bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us. Lift up your favor upon us, God, and give us peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. If you'd like to receive prayer, please come to the front. We'd love to pray for you.